I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13 and also look at chapter 12 as well, because I'll be sharing out of both of those. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. We know probably one of within a group of people who wrote it, but we don't really know exactly who wrote it. There were people who said the Apostle Paul wrote it, but there are certain problems with the text that don't make it very likely that he wrote the book of Hebrews. However, we do know that it was somebody that was an associate of the Apostle Paul's, because he mentions many of the same people that Paul knew in his, that we know that Paul knew. So we do know that it was written by somebody that knew Paul. We also know that this person was a servant of God and had served the Lord for many, many years. Also, if you look at the text of Hebrews, it comes pretty clear that it's written during a time of widespread persecution in the church. And it seems to fit very well with the time right after Nero had committed suicide and the persecution of the Christian community ended. And it seems to fit right within that time frame. So that seems to be where it fit. Now, the people who could have written it, well, there's Timothy, but he's mentioned in the book of Hebrews, so it's probably not Timothy. There are other people that believe it was Apollos or John Mark, or it may have even been Aquila or Priscilla, his wife, that wrote it. We just don't know which of those people wrote this book. But we do know that one of them probably did write this book. In this book, the writer who is in prison basically says to the Christians that he is writing to, I want you to live your lives in an honorable way as you serve Christ. If you look at verses 18 and 19 of chapter 13, he says these, or he or she says these words, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience. In all things, desiring to live honorably, but I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. The writer of Hebrews in those two verses is referencing what has happened in the verses ahead of that. And if you look at those verses ahead of it, this person talks about the calling or the purpose or the direction of God in his or her life. What God has called that person to, what God has called them to do in their lives. To begin this section, however, in verses 28 and 29 of chapter 12, the writer actually lays down the reason for their faithfulness, their desire to be honorable in their faith. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. I want to talk to you about the concept of that I may serve. That I may serve. It is a powerful message to us today, that I may serve Christ. Father, I pray now that you will anoint our ears to hear, our minds to perceive, and our hearts to to understand what you would say today. I pray that you will anoint me to speak the words your people need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. For a video here, I'd like to show you, I guess.
St. Sophie's Medical Center is the emergency room. At the ER, they can reattach a severed limb or resuscitate a flatliner in no time. But should you need the healing hands of the folks at the ER, pull out your Discover card. Because there's only one thing better than having St. Sophie save your life.
Clear!
And that's getting back cash for them to do it.
Some people like getting cash. The Discover card with cash back bonus for the slightly smarter consumer.
Okay. A lot of us look at our Christian walk and our service as, what do I get out of that? I might need a battery change. Is that what we're having problems with? Okay, thank you, Travis. I'll just keep going while he's working on that. In fact, let me pick up one of these microphones and I'll just keep going with this. White one? Okay. There we go. Are we up? Thank you. There we are. The thing that strikes me is that very often, just like in that hospital, we seem to think that our faith or our walk of service is about us getting something first. Like the Discover card, you know, you have to scan that and everybody waits until it's approved, you know. And that's kind of the way some of us approach Christian service, don't we? If I'm going to get something out of it, it's okay. But if I'm not going to get something, it's not so great, you know. And that is one of the real struggles for us as Christians. When we do that, we dishonor Christ, and we ultimately dishonor ourselves. The writer of Hebrews talks about being honorable in our faith commitment, being honorable in our service to Christ. I don't want to be in an emergency room where they have to scan my credit card before they help me. And I do not, as a Christian, want to look at my Christian service that way either. I do not want to look at being of service to people to be based on that means, and not just being service to people, but more importantly, being of service to God in my life. The writer of Hebrews, in the first part of this chapter, talks about the things that make up Christian service. He talks about our love for one another as Christians. He talks about hospitality and blessing other people. He talks about remembering those who are in bad situations, prisoners, those who have been mistreated, and treating them as if they were yourself. He talks about our marriages and doing the right things in our marriages. He talks about our conduct not being based on wanting what belongs to others, but our conduct being based on being content with what God provides and being confident that Jesus has us in His hand. He also talks about being responsible to those who are in authority. And boy, is that a tough one, isn't it? Because sometimes it isn't always easy to do that. But he talks about all of those things as being part of our Christian service. It's a part of what we must do and how we should approach Christian service. Caleb is a fascinating man in the Bible. We're not exactly sure how his name is pronounced. There's a lot of different attempts at how they think it was pronounced originally in the Hebrew. We've kind of just settled on our pronunciation of Caleb, but we're not really sure how the name was pronounced. The reason is because the name Caleb was not a common name before Caleb. And there was a reason for that. The name Caleb means dog. And for a Hebrew person, that is an insult. Okay? So before this man's name became popular because of him, it was not a name you were going to name your kid. It's like naming your kid Rover. It just isn't going to happen. I forget the movie where they said, we named you after the dog. This literally happened for him. He got named after the dog. Now, we don't know why Caleb was named that. It could be his father was so frustrated with his slavery in Egypt that he named him Caleb. There is speculation that the dog was the symbol for the clan that Caleb was a part of, and his parents named him in honor of the standard of the clan. Still, that would be a tough name to live down for a kid. The other possibility that some crazy people have come up with is that Caleb was actually a Gentile, and that was part of the reason why he got the name Dog. I have a lot of suspicions that one's not very accurate. But one of them is that he might have picked that up as a nickname and it stuck. Just like we know certain people by their nicknames and we probably have no clue what their first name actually is. So it may have been that kind of a situation for the man Caleb. Whatever it was, Caleb probably spent most of his life living down that name. We don't think about that, do we? He spent most of his life living it down. That's what makes him such a remarkable man. In Numbers chapter 14, Caleb is confronted with a very serious dilemma. He has been sent on a mission to spy out the land of Canaan, to determine if and when and how the Israelite people will enter and conquer the land. And clearly, the 12 spies traveled together. We do not know if Joshua was one of the spies. There's speculation he was one of the spies, but there's also speculation he wasn't. So we don't know if he wasn't. But clearly, before they got back to Moses, they had sat down and talked about their report. And evidently, the agreement among these 12 spies was that we're going to recommend no go. That the giants are too big. It's a land just like God said, but the giants are too big and the cities are too powerful and we cannot take this land. So Moses and guys, we're going to have to figure out another direction. So when they come to Moses, they say, here's our recommendation. And Caleb, the guy named Dog, puts up his hands and said, I dissent on that. God called us to take this land. And if he called us, he's big enough and strong enough to give us the strength we need to take the land. So I dissent from this. He was going up against some heavy hitters. At least 10 heavy hitters if Joshua wasn't one of the spies. If Joshua wasn't one of the spies, he was going up against 11 heavy hitters. and in tribes that were much more powerful than Judah, and in family clans that were much more important than his clan in Israel. So he's going up against the heavy hitters. And he says, God will get us in through this thing. I trust him. It became such a serious dissension that they were threatening to kill him and to kill Joshua, because both of them stood there with their hands up. We dissent. We believe God can do this. We believe God will give us the land if we have the courage to do what God has called us to. The rest of the tribe said, we have to punch the credit card and see if it's approved first. Being called by God to serve, and every one of us is called by God to serve. Every one of us. Means that we do not wait to see if things will work out, if enough of the giants will die off, or we can figure out a better way to get around the fortifications or whatever. It means we take God at his word and say, God, I will do what you have called me to do in service. I will be the man or the woman you have called me to be in honor. I will do the things that you want me to do. That means that we will have to do some things. We're going to have to forget about the past and live in the present with an eye to the future. Caleb didn't focus on the fact that he had the name dog. And probably a lot of people were snickering behind his back about that one. He also didn't focus on the journey through the desert on what he had lost when he was 40 years old. Right? Because all of us have major disappointments in our lives. When things do not go the way they should go or the way we want them to go, and we can spend our lives spinning our wheels thinking about if only. But that will destroy us in the service of Christ. Caleb picked up his pack and walked through the desert and served God in the midst of the struggle. But there came a day after things had settled down in the land and he had reached that 85th birthday, when he came to Gilgal and he stood in front of Joshua and said, Joshua, you remember what God promised us. You were there. You remember God said that I had this promised land, the portion I had was where I walked. So give me this mountain. Give me this mountain. This is what God called me to. I will not think about the fact that I was 40 when he first called me. I will now, and I'm now 85, I'm going to take what he promised me. I am going to serve as I have served in the desert. I am going to serve now in the blessing that he has given me. As Christians, we need to learn that as part of our Christian walk of service. We forget what was in the past. We live in the present. and we look toward the future. Those are the things that we do as Christians in our calling of service. In 2000, an international Christian movement decided to cease to exist. It wasn't because what they wanted didn't need to be done, but they felt like it now could be accomplished better in a different way. It was the March for Jesus. They had been going for 6 years. They had started in 1994 with a march around the world that gathered 10 million people, that began Christians all over the world that were marching in the streets and for Christ. And it was a broad-based movement that crossed denominational barriers, crossed denominational ideas. In 2000, around the globe, 60 million people marched on June 10th. This particular is the main March for Jesus location in Brazil. In Brazil, over 3 million people joined together to march for Jesus. To make a statement to their world, to sing together, to pray together, to read scripture out loud together, and say to the world, we are called by Christ. Now, after they disbanded the global organization, many of the local organizations and state and country organizations continue to operate. But they felt like the purpose of Christ could be better fulfilled by Christians doing their work in their local communities. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus challenges his disciples. He said a man was going on a long journey, and he called in his servants. Jesus would tell this parable with a little different flavor on another occasion, talking about talents. But here he talks about minas. A mina is an interesting amount of money. It was essentially 3 months' wages. And in the other story in Matthew, Jesus gives a different amount of talents to each one. But in this case, he gives one mina to each of his 10 employees and tells them, I'm going on a journey. I want you to use this and bring back what you have accomplished at the end. And in this particular parable, when the master or the noble comes back and brings his servants forward, of course, that one has earned 10 mina in addition, one has earned 2 and 3, and you get the story until they get down to the one guy, and he said, well, I took my mina, I wrapped it up in a handkerchief and put it in the cupboard. And the master says, if you'd at least have given it to the bank, I'd have gotten some interest off of it. If you'd have just invested it a little bit, but I haven't got anything back from what I've invested in you. The message for us as Christians is this. God has invested salvation in us. He expects for us to serve. He is invested in each one of us. If nothing else, we should give the minimal investment back And I don't know what that looks like for you, but at the minimum, if nothing, just give it to the bank and get a little bit of interest off of it. So that when we come into the presence of Christ, we can say, I have used that blessing you have given me. And I have been a blessing. We are called to serve. We are called to be the men and women God wants us to be. Graham Kendrick wrote the song, Give Me This Mountain, or as he subtitled it, Caleb's Song, in 2018. Graham Kendrick was one of the leaders of the March for Jesus. In fact, he was one of the organizers of the Global March for Jesus. He has been a pastor. He grew up in a pastor's home. He is a theologian. He is a songwriter and a music director and a worship leader. He is also an administrator of a church. He wears a lot of different hats. He serves Christ. You and I wear a lot of different hats sometimes in the kingdom. The point is, do we serve Christ? Do we serve Him in our lives? In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus challenges His disciples about this concept of service, about being a servant in the world, about serving people and serving the purpose. The city that's on this same slide is the city of Hebron. It was one of the most fortified and defended places in Cana when the Israelites entered. Powerful fortifications. And the people that lived there were the Anakim, the giants, the mighty warriors. It was the place that the Canaanites believed nobody could take. It also was important for the Israelites because that was where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were buried. The place where Caleb had walked when he had been a spy had been by those tombs of his ancestors. And he had said in himself, this belongs to me. This is my heritage. It is trampled under by people who do not care about God's will, His purpose, or His plan. In fact, they are antagonistic to God. So when he looks at Joshua and says, give me this mountain, he is saying, I am reclaiming what belongs to all of us. Every time a Christian commits themselves to the service of Christ, they are reclaiming the country that the enemy has taken. God called us to reclaim it. Whether it's to reclaim families or whether it's to reclaim other things, we are called to serve Christ and reclaim the territory. To reclaim the heritage. God has called us to serve. The writer of Hebrews would say we do so with an understanding of who God is. Caleb would say to the people of Israel in Numbers, We serve a God who is fearful. But we also serve a God who is mighty. The writer of Hebrews says, since we understand we serve a mighty God, and we stand in awe of Him, let us serve. And that's my calling to you today. Let us serve Him. As Christians, we are called to serve with honor and take the mountains God gives us to take. Stand with me. I don't know what God has called you to. You may have been like Caleb. You may have come back and said, I dissent from what is being said here. I trust God. And everything went the other direction in your life. And God may be bringing you back around, having gone through the desert, and He may be saying to you, here's a new opportunity to serve. Remember what I promised you back then? I haven't changed. I haven't changed. So here's your opportunity again. I'm hoping God is giving you that hope today. Let's pray. Father Almighty, we come in a sense of fear and reverence of who You are. You are the God who created the universe. You are the pillar of fire that traveled through the desert. You are the God who shook the earth with Your voice, that rained down fire and brimstone. And so, God, we stand amazed at who You are. Terrified of Your power and Your glory, but also profoundly grateful for Your grace and Your love. God, You have called each of us to serve. Those areas of service may be different, but they are all important in Your kingdom. They are our mountains, God, and You have given them to each of us. So God, anoint us with the courage, the strength, and the power, and the confidence to serve and to conquer, to be the Calebs of this generation. Thank You, God, for Your grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just lift up your heart to the Lord and just tell Him how good He is? And maybe the Holy Spirit is whispering in your ear today about something He wants you to do. And I'm asking you to say yes. Okay? God bless you. Hallelujah. Jesus, You are worthy. Praise Your name. Hallelujah. You are worthy.
Trust in You.